Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters Spiritual Talk Healing Dumb, right? Spiritual growth, 12-step indigo meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Hosted by Duchess and Jules. It must be Sunday at 5 p.m. Hosted by Duchess and Jules. Hi, everyone. This is Duchess, and I want to thank my creator for blessing me with another wonderful Sunday to share some words of wisdom with all of the listeners out there. And I love Tarni. One day I hope to meet him face to face so I can see the gentleman with that wonderful, wonderful voiceover. Hi, Jules. I know you're out there because I hear you breathing.
Yes, I am here. I have a wonderful, wonderful day today, and I'm always here with you when I can make it. So, yes, I am here.
That sounds great. You have anything you want to chat about before we get started, or should we just go ahead and go with the flow?
Well, you know what, Duchess? I don't know what our creator is thinking about, but it has been raining for almost 3 weeks here in North Carolina, and I'm seeing all the wonderful mosquitoes coming out and the bees coming out and the grass growing, but mosquitoes, oh my goodness, they are so pesky. But every day I want to go to the park and it's just raining and it's a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden torrential downpours. You can't even leave your window open to get some air in the window because it just thing, just rain. It doesn't even look like it's going to rain, but it just rains. And I don't even know what that's all about. What do you think it's about?
I don't know. There must be a Noah somewhere building an ark.
Oh, my goodness.
Because if it keeps raining 40 days, 40 nights, then who knows? Maybe we need this cleansing. Water is purifying. We need this cleansing. So something is going on, but it's a wonderful thing. I just wish that some of this water would float towards the West Coast, because all those fires in Arizona and California need some water. They're needing water over there, and we got it all over here. So
that is true.
I mean, there's something going on. There's something going on. I have a friend that says that all the time. This is true. That is true. You sound like her there for a moment.
Aww.
Well, today we're going to talk about indigos, and I think it's very important that we focus on indigos and indigos only, because sometimes we get off track and we start including the crystals and we start including the rainbow children, and these indigos are the parents of those children. And these indigos are really struggling today. They're struggling. They're having a hard time. And they are the parents of the children who they are trying to forge force for. And you have a lot of these indigo adults who are caught up in drugs and alcohol and food addictions and all kinds of addictions. And they need to know that there are certain things that they can do to bring themselves out of that. Now, we're not going to get so much into the addictions, but there is a book that we're going to talk about later on, and it's talk about empowering your indigo child. And within this book, it has a section in this book to empower the indigo adult and to do some types of ritual game playing or ritual suggestions for you to do as an indigo adult so that you can cleanse yourself and heal yourself of some of the wounds that you are carrying.
Wow.
First, let's talk about the indigos. What are you going to say?
Yes, Duchess. I really wanted to comment on what you had said about, you know, the drugs and addictions and how you're not going to get too much into that, and I understand why. And I wanted to comment on not only the drugs and addictions, but these indigos lately have been so angry. They have been so angry. I think it's because, you know, maybe they're not getting their mission started, or they're not being able to start their mission, or they're not, you know, trying, they're not able to stick on their path that they've been brought here to do. But they've had so many outbursts. And the reason why I know is because I got an indigo child here, and she has had several outbursts with me, and I had to sit her down, and I had to talk to her, and I had to say to her, listen, if you're going to talk to me as an adult, I can treat you as an adult because you're still my child, you know, so you're not going to disrespect. So if you have an indigo and you know that they're an indigo, or you're going to listen to us and find out if your child is an indigo, be very careful because they are very they're very angry, and they don't know why they're angry, so they have these outbursts, and they don't even know why they're having it. They're just having them, but they should not be accepted. It should not be accepted, and it should not be tolerated. So that's all
I
wanted to.
And they may not even want to go through these healing exercises, but it will be good for them. It will help them, and it will help you if you can guide them through these healing exercises. Now, the term indigo came about from Nancy Ann Trapp, I believe that was her name. She was a teacher in counseling. She studied the human electromagnetic field around our bodies, and this field surrounds every living thing. So you can see the aura of a plant. You can see the aura of anything in existence, because they fire off these electrons, and, you know, they have these molecules, and we're all, even this desk that I'm sitting in front of, has its molecular structure. They're firing off these atoms, you know, over and over and over again. So even this desk has an aura. And she began to notice that 80% of the children that were being born in around 1980s, they had a deep blue color field, and she called the new color indigo. And so that's how she began to term the children at that time indigo. Now we're talking 80s. These children are moving on up into adulthood. Mm-hmm. And these children are having children. And the children that they're having can be anywhere from indigo to rainbow to crystal. And if we don't give some guidance to the indigos, then it's just going to have a harder time for this new energy to be given birth. And indigos are any of us any of us who know deep inside that we were born to do something special and different. We know we are born to make a difference no matter what it is. This can be on a small scale or a wider one. And how do you know you are an indigo? You most likely always knew you were one. I knew, always knew that I was one, but I didn't know it was called indigo. I knew since I was a teenager that I was different, and I am different. You probably felt like a misfit within your family, your friends, in school, work, and with people. However, you were okay with it as you had the emotional maturity of an old soul to handle it. You always felt that there was something out there for you. As an adult, mm-hmm. you are still the odd person out and don't fit in with everyone. You tried to fit. And I found that to be so true for myself. I mean, it's not like the 4th of July. I wasn't invited somewhere to go for the 4th of July.
Oh,
I chose to not be the misfit in the surrounding of the group of people that had invited me to go for the 4th of July at someone's uh-huh. house for a barbecue. So a lot of times we indigos, we seem like we're recluses. We tend to be by ourselves. We tend to be loners because we know that we're different from other people, and we know that we don't feel comfortable in every single environment. Now, you know you're an indigo, but you may still have doubt that there's something more more out there. You know, there's plenty more out there. You want to know, there's something out there. And the focus on the recent arrival of the new Indigo Kids has put the spotlight on them, thus ignoring the existence of Indigo Adults. That leaves you, the Indigo Adults, amongst all of us and unsupported as the focus is on the Indigo Kids with special abilities. This leaves many of us Indigos who are new to the Indigo world, ignorant of our spiritual purposes and gifts. So we have adults out there that are Indigo, and they never heard of the term Indigo. They just feel that they're different.
I understand
that. They don't know
that,
why they're different.
I understand that, Duchess, when you talk about the Indigo being different and stuff and not them knowing that they're why. That they're different, because I notice some children who are different. They sit by themselves. They look at the others. I'm going to mention my daughter again, where she doesn't understand why so many people are attracted to her and want to be her friend when she's not a people person. She's always saying, I got so many friends, but I'm not a people person. You know, I have another Indigo child that I am aware of where her mother is a bubbly, outgoing person, and she's like, oh, I got the gift of gab. But this other Indigo child is, how come I can't be out there and bubbly and this and that, where, you know, doctors take this and say, you know what? These children need to be on medicine because they're depressed and they need to go into a rehab to learn how to be like the others. Indigo children are not like the others. You know, they have different abilities that they don't understand, and they have different concepts that only other Indigos will understand. So why are the doctors out there trying to make them like the others? They're different. And that's, you know, that's what I wanted to put out there.
Right. Absolutely. And many of the Indigo adults, they may know that they have Indigo children, but they are so far removed from the fact that they themselves may be Indigo. You know, and amazingly, there have been many Indigos long before us, For many centuries, Indigos have been coming in, and they talk about in history, as far as the historians go, they would call Joan of Arc an Indigo, William Shakespeare an Indigo, Isaac Newton an Indigo, and they were born like maybe in 1412. So we have Indigos that are just here. And this Nancy Ann Trapp, the one who coined the phrase Indigo, she noticed when there was this senator in the Senate, she said, keep your eyes on this African-American senator in the Senate. She said, he's going to go far. She said, because I see the blue indigo aura around him. And this senator eventually became president of our United States of America. So we have Indigos who are waiting to find their mission and waiting to find out their purpose. And they're sitting here, and as Nancy and Trapp said, they're being drip-fed, like they have an IV. They're being drip-fed, and they're waiting. They're waiting to get their thing on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things about Indigos is that they're very honest. No matter what they do, they tend to have this honest streak about them, you know, and they can sense this honesty a mile away like a dog senses fear. Indigos tend to be very, I don't care if they're knocked down, dragged out, you know, alcoholic, you know, having an alcoholism, they tend to be very honest. And that blows people's minds away. This person, you know, can I trust this person who's doing this? Yeah, in some cases you can.
Wow.
So,
I mean, I understand that. I understand, Duchess, sorry, about that honesty thing, because not only are they honest, but they have the mouth where they don't hold their tongue either. They will tell you honesty about yourself, how they feel, and they are very outspoken. You know, if you ask them a question, they're going to tell you the honesty, and they're not trying to hurt your feelings, but they will not hold their tongue. And that's how the anger comes out, because they are very, how do you say it again? They are that outspoken energy. And and a lot of people, older people, are not expecting that honesty to come out like that, because that's not how we were grown up to do such that speaking. But they have to understand it's a difference to be outspoken and a difference to be disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? You can be outspoken, but don't be disrespectful to your elders either.
Right. Well, some of the attributes of these young people, they're highly sensitive, impulsive, and intuitive. Once again, they have a high sense of truth and integrity. They are very sensitive to toxins, food, water, cleaning supplies, relationships. Relationships can be quite toxic sometimes. And the younger ones tend to be linked to ADD and ADHD, meaning that if they have addictions now, they may very well have been placed on medication when they were coming up as young children. A lot of the ones that are moving into adulthood now were born in 1978. Of course, there are those indigos who came around long before 1978, like they say, Joan of Arc. I'm an indigo, and I came around. I was born, you know, like in the 40s. So only 5% came around the 40s, and now we have about 80% of them started coming in around the 1980s. So there's a huge influx of them. And those babies that are being now, those that are coming in now, are your crystals and your rainbow children. They're creative with an artistic flair for music, jewelry making, pottery, writing, art. They're prone to addictions, and that includes food addictions. And once again, we're not going to go into addictions this show, but we know that we listed at least about 16 to 20 some odd addictions that one can have that people only look at: the addiction of food, the addiction of alcohol, and the addiction of drugs. They're not looking at the addiction of gambling and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Your indigos tend to be old souls. They tend to be old souls, as if they were 15 going on or going on 43. They tend to be psychic, possibly with a history of seeing angels or deceased people, isolationists. Now, there's two ways that your indigos can be isolationists. Sometimes they look like they're shy, and so that isolates them, or they act out, and they're aggressive, which means you go in the corner and you sit over there, or we give you some medicine so we can calm you down. So that's how the aggressive ones isolate. They're aggressive, so they get put out of the classroom, so they don't have to be around everybody else, or through fragile introversion. So they get shy, and they seem to appear meek. They're independent and proud, even if they're constantly asking you for money. Possess a deep desire to help the world in a big way. And they waver between low self-esteem and grandiosity. I know one indigo in her 20s. And on the one hand, you'll hear her say, "Oh, why do I do what I do? I have such a low self-esteem." And on the other hand, "Oh, this is not, and I can't hardly believe that, and this is impossible for it to be." So they fluctuate from low self-esteem to grandiosity. And they bore very easily. Don't worry about thinking that you're going to grab their attention span, because you're not. If you don't have anything valid and worthy to say, they'll hang up on you in a minute. They'll just go on about their business. And once again, They may be prone to insomnia, restless sleep, nightmares, difficulty, fear of falling asleep, and they have a history of depression or suicidal thoughts or attempts. Ooh. So you gotta look real deep into these people, all of these adults, real deep, because they look for real deep and lasting friendships, and they easily bond to their plants and animals because they have not been able to find these real deep and lasting friendships on a human level. Okay? So you have a lot of things to think about if you're sitting out there and it's a possibility that you may be an indigo. And as I speak to you, Jules, it's getting darker and darker here while you talk about the rain. I mean, these clouds are rolling in, honey.
I told you. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So let's talk about the indigo's inner lie detectors. Okay, this was complete when they were born. So they came here knowing and scouting out and knowing who's for real and who's not. And they are unable to conform to dysfunctional situations at home, work, or school. And they don't have the ability to dissociate their feelings and pretend everything is okay when it's not, unless you got them medicated. That's the only time you can get to conform. When they're medicated, and that means medicated as children with the ADHD medication or medicated as adults, you know, and they're just going to drink until they just, you know, do all kinds of stuff that they had no intentions of doing if they hadn't debated themselves.
Well, also, Duchess, you know, we always, you know, look at the ADHD and the ADD because they are the ones who are very outspoken and they're out there and stuff like that. I did have an indigo child that was autistic, and when he did not speak, everyone's like, okay, he's autistic. But the things that he could do was awesome. I mean, this little 5-year-old, 11, 7-year-old, I don't know, remember how old, I mean, he could do the biggest puzzles in the world. And it's just like, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be doing adult puzzles. I mean, puzzles that my grandmother would take and, you know, take a little time to do. This autistic boy, he would just do it. You know, and when he wasn't on his medication, he would go online and he would solve problems and math problems and stuff like that. But, you know, these indigo children, they're awesome. They are awesome. And,
absolutely.
You know, also the indigos, they, you know, they always say, I am not a baby person. But the crystal babies are always attracted. You know, trying to get up on them, always saying, oh, hi. You know, they always want to be lovey-dovey to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the indigos are always saying, I'm not a child person, but you can see in their eyes, oh, come on, all
right.
You know, this and that, come on, put your baby on me, it's okay. So you can always see these crystals and these rainbows just loving on them and everything like that.
The other thing is the indigo diet. Indigos are natural children living in an artificial world. Everything, artificial sweetener, artificial this, artificial that. And what happens is this affects their systems drastically because indigos aren't able to assimilate these toxins in food, water, and, you know, once again, those toxic relationships, you get drawn to people and they're toxic and then you wonder why, what's going on. One of the things that they cannot tolerate, and that is sugar. Now, you can take sugar out of your diet by taking away candy and sweets, but a lot of people don't realize there's sugar in those French fries because carbohydrates turn to sugar when it goes inside your body. So You think you're not having any sweet, but when you pile on those carbohydrates, that pasta, you got some sugar in your body. So you're going to have to modify your eating habits for you and your children, if we're talking indigo diets.
That's especially don't put sugar in the vegetables just because you want them to eat them. I got a guest staying in my house that they put sugar in their green beans. I said, listen, just because you wanted your children to eat it when they're young, they're 19 years old. Stop putting sugar in the green beans and the corn and stuff like that. That's not healthy.
So. No, it's not. And you know something else that people make a mistake doing? When they're infants, when the children are growing up and they're toddlers and you want them to eat their vegetables, you mix it with their fruit. Don't do that.
What?
Because their fruit don't taste good. The fruit doesn't taste good, you know, without, the vegetables don't taste good without the fruit if that's how the child is raised, you coaxing the child to eat. You get some spinach for a child that's just trying out food. Feed the child just the spinach. Don't mix it with the peaches so that the spinach tastes the sweetie. And that's what people do.
Wow.
It's really not healthy. It's not healthy for your child's taste buds for them to. And if you notice, a lot of the young children today, they will go for the raw vegetables. I was watching a little 5-year-old girl at this barbecue one day, and she was eating red and green peppers with some dressing on it. Just, and I don't like eating raw green peppers and red peppers, but the little girl was in seventh heaven. They'll reach for the vegetables, but it's the parents that push all that other stuff. Come on, make sure you eat your hot dog. These children are vegetarian, most of them coming up today.
Even the crystal baby that I'm watching right now, she just loves her carrots. She will not eat the rest. She'll just pick the carrots, put it in her mouth, pick the carrots, and I was just in awe about that too. Just like, ew, she's eating carrots. That's disgusting. But I let her go for what she knows, and she just pick her carrots and eat them. And she would throw the rest of the stuff here, Juju, I'm finished. I'm like, okay. And it was amazing.
Let's touch up on the anger thing again, because you can hear it in their music. Some of these rappers and some of these young artists coming up, you hear the anger in their music, and it's all about change. They want change. They want it, you know, now, and, you know, they want to reclaim their indigo power, and just listen to the music.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking to one another because they don't have anyone that they can talk to. And it's sad. It's so sad because they're living in, these are warriors living in a farmer society. I read a book a long time ago. It was coined ADDHD, Hunters Living in a Farmer Society, whereas you see farmers, they plow the land, they plant the seed, they're very patient, they wait for it to grow, they wait for it to come up, you know, then what they do, they reap it, and then they take it to market, and you got corn, or you got wheat, and farmers are so patient. You send a hunter out, a hunter goes out and tells the clan, we're going out, get a bear, we're going to bring back bear to go with dinner tonight, a bear. They go out there and they have to be watching every move that goes on behind those bushes. They're looking every which way but loose. And all of a sudden they spy something and they shoot it, or they send forth the arrow, or they kill it. And what do they bring back? They bring back a deer.
And we eating tonight. So, we are not starving. We're eating tonight.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
But, you know, you have some of them old farmers saying, you know, hello. You said you were bringing back bear, B-E-A-R, so we prepared this because this is what goes with a bear. It does not go with deer, okay? But the hunters have to bring back what they shot, you know? So we have a lot of these young indigos. They are hunters living in a farmer society. You get into the classroom and the teacher wants everybody to sit in their seats, dress right, dress.
They don't have time for the tactile learner, the one that wants to learn by moving and touching and feeling. You understand? They want you to sit down and everybody in the room, all 40 of you, sit down and listen to the story.
Duchess, they want them to sit down for a long time in a boring classroom and listen to the same monotone voice and let them just sit there. It's
poor
like, hello,
children.
You are very monotone. Let's play. Let's talk. Let's discuss things. Like us, we like to talk. We have different styles of voices, up, down, up, down. We tell the people, please call us. We would like file up. We would like to know what you think. It's not all about us. It's about the inside of everybody. And so we do have that number, 347-324-3030. And we tell the people, press the number one. Press the number one. We would love to hear you, and we would love to speak to you, and we would like to hear what you think. And so that's why
Absolutely.
We have this show today,
yes.
because we know what indigos go through. We know what their parents go through. And so that's why we do this show every Sunday at 5 o'clock, just for the people.
Mm.
You
now,
know, so.
It's been said, if we see indigo children or the way they express themselves, we see it as a nuisance or a bother, or something that is difficult to deal with, then we are going to treat it that way. But if we see it as an enormous gift, an opportunity to gain insight into life itself through these children as a channel to access information we can't access through our own devices, we will treat it as an entirely different way of being. And that's what we've got to understand. And that's why we come to these books. The books we're going to talk about today, this is our book review. I've gone through both of these books. One I've had for many, many, many years, and I went through it with my adult grandchildren. The oldest one, I think, is about 23 years old now. A 23-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 19-year-old, and I've gone through this same book with the 8-year-old, the 5-year-old, and hopefully I'll still be going through it with a 2-year-old. But that will come after I talk about Empowering Your Indigo Child. I like this book, Empower Your Indigo Child. It's a handbook for parents of children of spirit. And it was written by Dr. Dosick, Wayne Dosick, and Ellen Kaufman Dosick. He's a PhD and she's an MSW, Master's in Social Work. And to go through some of the stages in here of this book, it talks about healing the wounds. There are wounds that these children and these adults are feeling. It's like somewhere around 8, 7, as children become more connected to everyday, to the everyday world around them, these children begin to lose their guides. It's like their guides, their guidance system, their spiritual guidance system that they were born with, they begin to fade from their consciousness. You know, if you look at little teeny children, they'll sit for hours and play by themselves. And you wonder, who the heck are they talking to? Who are they talking to? Well, just because we don't see who they're talking to, that doesn't mean that they don't see who they're talking to. They know who they're talking to. You know, and you may say, well, who are you talking to? And they'll say, my friend, okay? And, you know, if you let them have their friend, they'll continue to talk and play with their friend. But if you say, what friend? I don't see no friend. Then, you know, after a while, they're not even going to tell you they're talking to their friend. So,
right. Or their friend would probably go away in their brain, you know. Just like on Sesame Street with Mr. Snuffleupagus. Oh, I love Big Bird's friend. But, you know, because the adults did not feel like their children should have imaginary friends, or the imaginary friends start to be well thought of. It's okay to talk about my imaginary friend.
Right.
The adults made
so,
the imaginary friend go away.
That is why 7 and 8 year old children really talk about the imaginary friends anymore. Okay, that is also why 7 and 8 year old children often stop talking about the other side and being with God. Okay, now this this book is very, very interesting because in this book, it talks about, I like the way it says how it works, reminds me of the AA book. This, the 17, how it works. It says the wounding. They are wounding. We have identified, this is what the authors are saying, they've identified 17 emotional wounds that indigo children can have, can hold. Each of these emotional wounds is also centered in a unique place in the physical body. I'm not going to go through all of that unique places in the physical body, but it does, some of it has to do with the chakras and the meridians. Okay, so, but I'm going to list the 17, and we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you the description of the 17. Okay, here you go. The first one, anger. The need to defend oneself through attack against the harshness of this world experience. 2, grief, weeping at the separation. 3, the experience of being in danger. 4, distrust, not being able to count on any reality as certain. Despair, giving up the connection to the breath of God. 6, anguish, the belief of aloneness. 7, shame, being embarrassed in front of the whole cosmos. You know, when you don't feel as though anybody really understands you, you don't feel like anybody is there for you, you feel like you're invisible, then you can have that shame of being embarrassed in front of the whole cosmos. How about insecurity? The experience of having no solid ground inside. You walk the physical.
I don't mean to interrupt you or anything, but there is a caller on the line, and I think they want to talk to you about something previous you said, and I wanted to know if it's okay for the 718 to come through.
Send 718 through.
All right, here we go. Here we go. 718. Here we go.
Hey, guys. Huh? How's it going?
Hi.
I'm Joe.
Hi, you're Joe.
I'm doing really well. I'm enjoying your show, and I saw Indigo Child, and that caught my eye because when I went to see my guru, for his convention, he would have Indigo Children sit in the front, and they would draw out what they're seeing, and it's just really amazing that, you know, I don't understand why people would label it between physical and non-physical, like, because in my belief system, I believe there's indigo children. I believe that they're more sensitive now because of the energy shift that we had. And I think that the spiritual community are gifted to have them. So when I got to meet my first indigo children, it was a very emotional experience for me because they showed me the pictures of exactly what they saw, and they were drawing pictures of angels and you know, UFO entities and, like, everything that you would see on a spiritual level, they would draw and be like, this is what I'm seeing. And it was disheartening that some parents don't understand, and they would immediately be like, oh, it's an imaginary friend, or, called the doctor, or, you know. And I think that's wrong. I think that there's
right.
a lot to learn from indigo children. And not only that, but I'm actually part indigo, and I remember how I'm so sensitive, and it's just real incredible how sensitive it is. Even now, you know, I've developed so much spiritual consciousness that it can be really difficult to feel and see the things that most people don't see. And that was the message that I wanted to pass on to you guys.
Thank you.
So
are
you able to help these children in any way without offending others?
Yeah, I actually, you know, what I do, I'm a Reiki master. So, you know, which I'm so happy. I finished my Reiki mastery in 2008. I started learning Reiki and spirituality at age 14.
Wow.
I'm 24 now, and it still amazes me how strong spirituality is.
How old are the children that you come in contact with?
I let them know that everything's all right, and I introduce them to Archangel Michael, the defender. And I was like, anytime you get scared or anytime you see something that scares you, call on Archangel Michael, and he would come and protect you. And that seems to really comfort them. And I've actually paid a fair share of devotion to him because he's gotten me out of situations that were extremely hard on me.
Okay.
What's that? What's the age group of the children?
Anywhere from 12 to like early teens.
Okay. Well, both of the books that we're reviewing today would be very good for you and or for some of the parents, especially the younger ones. Any one of these books would be really, really, really beneficial.
Right.
So, thank you so much, Jill.
Oh, my goodness. I really would like you to call back, you know, whenever you're available. We'd love to hear what else that you would like to say. I really appreciate it.
If you ever get an opportunity to try either of these books, we'd love to hear how they worked for you or someone that you recommended them to. Okay?
Yeah. I do have a book recommendation. What is Heaven?
What is Heaven?
The one that I'm going through right now, one of the ones is Empowering Your Indigo Child.
Ah, yes.
And it's
I
a handbook for parents. You read that
my
one?
My master did give me that book to read.
And my favorite one for little people is by Mary Summer Rain. I'm going to go through that one real quickly in a minute, and that's Mountains, Meadows, and Moonbeams. So, and that's for little people, and it's a real wonderful, fascinating book, if you can find it. I found it for my grands. Thank you.
So when you said the book is What is Heaven, can you give me the author of that book?
I can't remember offhand. I got to try to find the book again. I used to have it when I was little. But
okay.
It was a really good book because it taught children exactly, you know, that there's no reason to fear losing a loved one because they're walking right next to you. May they not be physical, but they're in spirit.
Right.
And, you know, that's a really insurance thing. I mean, time after time, I've had experiences with my loved ones. You know, just giving me signs.
Okay, because we do talk about the ancestors and what they do to walk next to you and how they never, ever interfere with your life unless you ask them, listen,
right,
I really
right.
need your help. So I would like, if you ever know the author of What is Heaven, if you can call us back and let us know the author. If I can find the author, I will mention it on the air. But again, I really would like you to call back and let us know what you thought of the books if you do read them. And you know the number, 347-324-3030, and I really appreciate the phone call.
You're welcome.
And Joe, don't forget to visit our website, InsideMattersTalk.com. You might find that interesting also because we have a whole lot of information on reclaiming your indigo power. Okay, InsideMattersTalk.com. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Bye, Joe.
You have a blessed day.
You too.
Okay, that was wonderful. Okay, for those who are still listening, we want to go through the 17 wounds that indigo adults, well, indigo children, between the ages of 7 and 18, they suffer. The next one is insecurity, and that's the experience of having no solid ground inside. Then there's selfishness, the fear of coming out to interact with this world experience. So if they're born spiritual, it's almost as though they're feeling, you know, like they're being selfish to have fun. Loss, not being able to find one's own heart. The 11th one is panic, the experience of being suspended in midair with nothing to grasp or hold on to. Inferiority, the belief that I'll never be as good as God. 13, hatred, the experience of feeling as though one does not deserve reunion. 14, indignation, holding righteousness in response to the lack of dignity expressed for all God's creatures. There's resentment, the wish that the world matches the inner vision. 16, jealousy, wanting what the angels have. 17, guilt. Now, when we talk about these 17, and the last one is guilt, holding oneself responsible for the lack of perfection in the world, we're talking about these things being on a spiritual level. Okay, we're not saying that these indigos feel this on a human level. They're feeling this spiritually because the ego, you know how we talk about the ego gets in the way?
Mm-hmm.
So this is on a soul level, a spiritual level. And so these gains that the two dosics developed by their own guidance system, they're called you-me. And these games, because it's you and me that play these games, all right? And one of the things that we don't realize is that when our physical body is caught up in something spiritual, we begin to affect different organs in our body. Say, for instance, the liver. The liver is the seat of our most primordial and primal feelings and reactions. The liver can hold our fears, our anger, our most hateful feelings. When our livers hold too much hatred, our entire systems are affected. Poisons can invade the whole body. So when we talk about the liver and the kidneys and we talk about different organs in our bodies and how they're affected by how we're feeling in many ways. Now, that's for this book deals with the healing of these wounds for young people, age 7 to maybe 18 or 17 years of age. And then they have what's called the grace light that's included in the book. That's part two. And the grace light, that's weaving harmony for the littlest indigo. Spiritual healing for indigo children from birth to age 7. So they have a small section for them, and then they have another section, part three, called the Point of Essence Process, Proclaiming the Truth of Who You Are. And this is spiritual healing for your adult. Indigos. So I would highly recommend this book. As a matter of fact, I did the Healing Essence. I had my son come over, and he helped me go through it because it would have been impossible for me to go through it alone. So, Jules, you know, I put on my white, got myself all smooched up for spirit, put on my white, and he assisted me. He assisted me with the healing ceremony or the healing process, and it was a beautiful thing.
That's
so
wonderful.
Ooh, I'm ready for Mountains, Meadows, and Moonbeams, a child spiritual reader. This is one of my most favorite books. It's written and illustrated by Mary Summerrain. And it even has little elves and sprites and on the cover. It looks like it's a children's reader, a child spiritual reader. And just to give you a little glimpse into this, I'm going to go through its contents. It talks about the real you, and I love that because it talks about how God is a beautiful and shimmering white light filled with warmth, understanding, and great love. One day, God became very lonely and wanted some company, so he sent so many shining sparks from his beautiful light. These sparkling pieces of God are called spirits. The spirits are pieces of God that are good. They love God very much. So it talks about how a child is still connected to God because a child is one of those little sparkling pieces of God. It goes on to when you became a baby, how you looked down and you wanted that one right there to be your mommy. Then it talks about the circle of protection. And it tells you how to protect yourself, the things you see. It talks about your guides. It talks about your imaginary friends, those things that you see that nobody else may see. It talks about dreamland being the real land. It also goes into, it starts talking about the clairs on a very, very elementary level so children can understand about auras. And the colors and telepathy, clairvoyance and clairaudience and healing and out-of-body experiences as well. So I like one of the topics in it is what is parapsychology? And so on an elementary level, it tells a child what parapsychology is, okay? And then it goes into the second part of this beautiful, beautiful book. It talks about your morals, your character, like the caterpillar's secret, the beautiful spirit in you. So it talks about how the caterpillar weaves the cocoon, and that's the secret. And when it comes out, it reveals its secret. It talks about the funky monkey and being yourself, the tale of the ant, and how everyone is important. The skunk with spunk, how not to listen to gossip, your inner light. That's the no-mo. So it talks about a lot of different little teeny stories, little short stories. And at the end of each short story, it gives the lesson in that story. I love this book. This book just pleases me, and it can please a lot of parents that's looking for a spiritual reader so that they can tell their children bedtime stories with a heart, a soul, and a spiritual context to it. Then it goes on to part three, and it talks about your connectedness to all that there is, Mother Nature's message, the universe in me. Now we're talking meditation journey. So it teaches you how to help your child learn how to meditate. The spirit of the mountain, all energy of nature and God. The circle of rebirth. So we're talking distant memories. I guess now we're going to move into little bits and pieces of reincarnation. How about your spirit guides? And those are your guiding light. Gifts of the trees. Nobody like me. That's when we talk about your individuality. Hey, I'm alive. That's plant personality. You know, I remember when my older set of grandchildren were growing up, they were used to bounce around the house and bang up against the wall. And I said, hey, cut that out. Don't you know that that wall felt that? Oh, I had them really, really respected not banging the wall because I told them the wall had feelings in it. And don't step on the ant. Huh? They had feelings too, you know, so they began to respect all of this stuff. That's what I love about
that. That is so cute because my crystal baby that I babysit, we was looking at the worm, and I don't know how many people out there remember my worm story, but we were looking at the worm, and she was like, aw, you know, and we was like, don't step on it, it's okay. But then the next day, she saw a worm that was all dried up, and she was just so upset. Oh, worm go night night. I said, yes, the worm went night night. And she thinks anything that passes away, they're going night night. Her dog had to be put to sleep, and her dog's name is Bear. And all she did that whole day is Bear went night night. Yes, Aslan, Bear went night night. So you know that's where she knows that Bear went. It's not back in her house. Bear went to go night-night. And it's just children have that compassion at such a young age that we just got to remember to remind them that they have that passion and that compassion for things that they don't feel, you know, that they should. You know, we go around killing ants, and they're in their environment. They're outside. Now, I can understand if they're in your environment, but still, you know, but they're in their environment. So why should you go outside and start stepping on ants? Teach your child
right.
that's their environment. You don't do that. So compassion. Indigos and crystals, they're born naturally with that compassion. We as adults teach them of not having the compassion because that's just what we have forgotten. So,
you know, in speaking of compassion, I know this young indigo in their 20s, and this young indigo is having a bout with alcohol, you know. And they would like me to help them do their indigo thing, reclaiming the indigo, work with them as an indigo, and teach them. And while I want to, I also feel that it's very important that they do the 12 steps of an AA program. Now, I do not want to lose this indigo, but I don't know what I should do. Encourage first the 12 steps of the AA program or begin working with the indigo stuff, because this is definitely an indigo that's caught up in the madness, okay? They never heard of indigo before, but I pegged it right off because you can hear the honesty. You can hear the pain of wanting to stop the quote-unquote addiction but not being able to. You can hear but I don't understand how I have this as an illness. You can hear all of that, but at the same time, you know this is an indigo. Now, my first inkling would be to get the indigo clean first, clean and sober. All right?
Right.
But I also know that when I didn't know that I was indigo, I had a counselor, a therapist, that was new age, and I wanted her to talk to me about my psychic abilities, and she said, no, it's not, you have time for that. But I firmly believe that if she had spoken to me about my psychic abilities, I might have stopped my drinking sooner, because
see,
then I would have had a better sense of who I am.
That's what I think,
so,
Duchess. I feel like if you are debating this, I feel like do not push the soberness. I feel, me personally, I feel do the indigo do the psychic ability, and all of a sudden, I think that that will just naturally fall into place. Because it seems like if you lose the indigo part into pushing the sober and they're not ready to become sober, then it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Right.
They're going to be like, you know what? I'm not. And they're just going to walk away, and then you're going to lose the whole thing. That's all I
right.
feel. Because it's their inside okay. that matters, you know? So.
Right. But I also feel that if you're all convoluted inside with all the, you know, with the toxic stuff, how can you have a clear vessel and a clean mind to do the other stuff?
Well, let me say this.
All right.
If I drink, okay, I drink, and I drink at parties, and I drink at night when I get off work, you know, I need a drink. But you know what? I'm going to go my indigo stuff. I'm going to go use my spirituality. I'm going to Duchess's house. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to work with her. I'm not drunk. So everything in my mind is
clear
and clean.
Yeah, but you still got all that residue stuff from the night before.
Well, you know what?
It's still cloudy.
No, because you know what? I have some time to take a shower. I have some time to get my mind right. I have some time because you know what? I know
I think
what is the strongness in my mind that I want to do. And my mind wants to go to Duchess's house, pay attention, write some things down, go on with my day, go back and redo what Duchess says for me to do, do my lessons, do this, do that. And then I need to, later on, go and give me a drink. But eventually, I'm going to figure out what is more important to me, getting a drink
right.
or my spirituality, getting a drink
right.
or knowing about my spiritual stuff, my psychic abilities. I'm going to want to know more about that, and I'm going to know that when I'm drunk, I can't have psychic abilities. When I'm drunk, those psychic abilities will go away. So then I will learn
what
is more important.
Have you ever seen a person who gets knocked down, dragged out, drunk the night before, how they look and how they act the next day?
Girl,
you think
I
they're
have.
Ready to reclaim? You think they're ready to sit down and talk about reclaiming their indigo power?
Not at that point in time. But the next day when they get up and they take a shower and after they threw up all of that toxin in the toilet, I don't throw it up, I'm ready.
Okay, all right, Jules, okay.
I would say
just
work with them, don't push them on their addiction because they're not ready to give that up, but if they're ready to work on
their indigo. No, this person really is ready. They're ready.
Okay, they're ready, then don't push.
They just don't seem to be able to.
If they're ready.
Okay.
Work with it. Don't push the other stuff because you're going to lose them. You're going to lose them because if they're ready, then they're ready and the other stuff will go away slowly. Because you know what? It's just like a person smoking a cigarette. If they're not ready to stop smoking that cigarette, you're not going to make them stop. But they're ready
right.
to do their spirituality. And eventually, the cigarettes will go away.
Okay.
Okay? Drugs is drugs. All right.
Yes. Yeah. Good advice.
Anyway.
Okay. So, are we pulling a card tonight before we go? And
we are pulling a card. Oh, my goodness. We got a caller. We got a caller, Duchess, 303. And I think 303 is from Colorado. Anyway,
no,
I'm going to make this caller come through.
Wasn't that Joe?
Hello. Hold on.
Hello.
Hello, 303. Where are you from?
I am from Colorado. You're right.
Hey, what's your name?
Hi. My name's Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Randy.
I love this show. I relate to so much of what you're talking about. It brought tears to my eyes. I'm like, someone could understand me. I just want to thank you for the show.
Okay.
And I also just wanted to give my insight of what you just talked about with the
okay.
With the person who's an alcoholic, as a life coach, I'm a fearless living life coach. I was I was taught to, if somebody has an addiction, not to coach them, but like coach them into, you know, not force them, but help them see what their addiction is, coach them with that, and I would coach them simultaneously while they're getting help. Like, so if someone's going for, you know, the meetings, then also just to coach them along with that. I think that both of them are so valuable, like, to get both, you know, because I think, so, I don't know. I just thought I'd give my two cents.
Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Sure.
I really
that helps me a lot.
Yeah, and I just, I love the conversation when you talk
really
to
really feels attached to me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Randy. I'm sorry for cutting you.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, like, the part when you were talking about, like, how a lot of indigos are introverts and, you know, like, that was me. But I think, like, for me, I'm an empath also. I think my son is like me. And I think what we do is, like, we kind of, like, it's not like we're, like, shy. I think what we do is, like, we feel the other people. And we want to see people that, like, we kind of, like, scan them. Say, are these people like me? And we kind
right.
of, like, feel them first. And then when you feel, like me and my son, when we feel comfortable, we'll connect with people. And then those are the people that are our best friends. And they're usually our best friends for a long
right.
time.
Right.
I think I have a daughter
Randy,
like that.
Randy, may
yeah.
I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
How did you hear about the show tonight?
Oh, I just, you know, I just go on Blog Talk and I just look at topics, and I was very interested in the topic, and I heard how knowledgeable you, when I was listening to the show, it just drew me in. I'm like, oh, my God, you really know what you're talking about. You're really, you know, connecting on my soul level, and I really, you know, I enjoy it. And I wrote down
thank
my website
you.
So much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Keep
have
on
great...
listening, and if you have any other time to come in and show your opinions, or we are always interested in hearing what you have to say. So
sure,
thank
you
so
you.
Much, Randy.
Thanks.
And we'll
thanks.
Keep you
because you
always
helped Randy.
On
you
my
helped
mind.
Me a lot.
Oh, good.
You helped me a lot.
We'll talk to you soon, okay, Randy?
You too. Take care. Bye bye.
Alrighty. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Yes.
Okay.
I'm glad.
Okay.
I'm glad she came in.
Thank you, Randy.
She
I
helped
too.
Me a lot. Right.
All right.
She really did.
So let's pull a card. I can't wait.
Okay.
Let's pull a card. We can't pull a card.
Okay.
Well,
we pulled
an angel card last week. Can we pull an animal card?
Sure, we can pull an animal card. I just knew you were going to want an angel card, so I didn't pull it, but I pulled them up first.
Okay.
I mean, I took them
well,
out of their
little...
Well,
if that's the vibration, an ant...
No, we can pull both.
Oh,
I like
okay.
the animal. It's Beaver, and Beaver is the builder. If Beaver has appeared in your spread, it may be time to put your ideas into action or to complete some project that has been neglected. The Beaver card could also be asking you to settle differences with fellow workers or friends. Beaver tells you to look for alternative solutions to life's challenges and to protect the creations which you put your love and your energy into. Sometimes Beaver brings you a warning to watch your back. If this is your message, you will know it by the position in which the card falls in your spread. If the card falls in the south position, it is to remind you, your child self, that trusting is okay, but caution is necessary. Use discernment. So Beaver is the builder.
Okay.
He's saying be careful, be cautious this week. You know, all that you see may not be what it is. And the angels say it's blessings. God and the angels are helping you right now. Continue to ask for their help and then accept it when it comes.
Mm.
And it always does.
All the time.
Next week's show, what are we going to do? We're going to be talking about, okay, this is one of my favorite books also. I just have these books that I just love. We're going to do review R. Neville Johnson's book. I'm going to review the one, Hidden Language Codes. Now, it's amazing. He's just like 45 minutes, maybe 15 minutes away from where I live. I'd really like to meet this gentleman. Maybe I can ask him to talk to us on the show. I don't know. But we're going to have a guest, and his name is Bruce. Bruce, he channels music, and Bruce works with the Hathor. So Bruce is going to be on the show next week. He's going to come on because Bruce, I read this book also. Now, R. Neville Johnson, he was shot 3 times in 1997, and he died. But he came back knowing something he hadn't known before, that the universe is made up of vibrations and that some of the most meaningful vibrations are the words we use in everyday thought and speech. So it behooves us to choose our words with care to create the life we want. Now, I've been putting this book into practice, and I can't wait to share with you all how I have been doing that next week. And it's amazing. When we change the language, we change our reality. Cool book. So, I guess, Jules?
Yes. It's time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Time to go.
Okay.
It's been a great night.
Yes, it has. And the callers that have come on and shared. Also, I've seen some callers that have come on and just listened. And it has been a fabulous, fabulous night. It's really great. I love it.
So did I. I had a good time. And I mean, Randy does not know what she has done for me. As a life coach, she's given me some insight into my circumstances, my situation with the person I really honestly and truly want to work with. But
you know what, Duchess? She's given me some insight, too, because, you know, I was, like, totally on one side of the spectrum, and you were totally on the other side of the spectrum, and she just said, bring it to the middle, and you both are right, and it was great. I loved it. It was like more people need to do that for us.
Right. So, and I'll let everyone know next week how it's working, because I'm going to be working with this young person for a couple of days. We'll see how we flow. And I'm going to sure enough take Randy's advice. Okay, and Joe out there, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck.
Right, we can't forget about Joe. Thank you.
Your little Indigo children out there. And everyone, if you want to hang out with Jules and I and we're not on the air, go to InsideMattersTalk.com. That's blogspot, and you can put your comments there. Once again, that's InsideMattersTalk.com. Okay, take care. Until next week.
Yes.
Good night, Jules.
Bye. Good night. ¶¶